just feel it. Yeah, you talk to him. Shout out to the Dadcast Nation. Yo, see, this is the perspective of a dad. Cast it to whomever's interested. Come take this ride with your boy, and I promise to keep it interesting. I'm invested in learning life's lessons so we can grow together. I know the weather be switching up on you, but listen up. It's just life's journeys. This would turn me into a teacher, a father, a husband, a preacher. And I'm trying to reach the top, a writer, an author, an actor, and a director. So when you see the world through my eyes, it's like a reflector of all of that. And I'm all of that, but it's much more to do. See, life is just your movie, and your role is yours to choose. We only get one life to live, and I live my life with prayer. This the Dadcast Podcast, so hit that like and share. Hit that like and share.
Hey, what's good, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Dadcast Podcast. I'm your host, Lavelle Lemonnier, and I'm extremely excited about today's broadcast. Now, just before we get into that, I'd like to thank my wife, Dr. Gabrielle Lemonnier, for her tremendous support and for being the co-creator of this podcast. And let me also thank our sponsors. We couldn't do this without you, of course. And then most importantly, let me thank you, the Dadcast Nation, for being such an amazing audience over the last five seasons and now into this sixth season. You guys have been amazing. Your support is just, I can't thank you enough for being a part of every episode that we do. Now listen, today's guest, let me tell you what, you're going to be treated to an exciting and an informational episode. I guarantee it. Our guest, I'm going to give you a little bit about her. She grew up in the Pacific Northwest between Oregon and Washington. She was one of five children, the youngest, until her parents adopted a younger sibling of hers. Her childhood was filled with movement and music. And as she physically lived in over 30 places, she also grew up singing and playing the piano from a young age, surrounded by a family of artists and musicians. Now, this prepared her for her career pathway, as she consistently had to start and build things quickly while maintaining strong relationships and a high level of positivity through mindset practices, through creativity, and through flexibility in everything that she pursued. Now, she was raised in a very structured environment, driven by religious values, education, giving back, and investing in the community. However, as she continued her evolution, she found higher consciousness and mindset work that allowed her to reframe her pathway quickly and efficiently to lead to greater success. Now, she went on to boarding school for high school at Upper Columbia Academy, just outside of Spokane, Washington. And this experience, coupled with her regular trips to Central and South America to build schools, helped shape her life philosophies around the power of giving back and approaching life with gratitude, even from a very young age. Now, as her life progressed, she began to understand the power of mindset. And that's what we're going to focus on a little bit today. But she worked multiple roles at the same time to outweigh the fact that she didn't finish college. At first, she saw this as a barrier, but then she realized that her headspace, her drive, her work ethic could outpace so many people who held multiple degrees but didn't have the correct mindset to apply themselves and create success. And due to this unique, consistent opportunity to overcome a social norm obstacle, she felt inspired to create a parallel pathway into the corporate world while at the same time launching her artist brand as a singer-songwriter. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well, in a little bit as well. Overall, she's found her life rhythm through music. I love the way her bio reads this. She found her life, I want to say it in rhythm. She found her life rhythm through music, helping others, giving back, working as a director of relationships for a consulting company, and striving to constantly leave everyone she's met better than she found them. Now, she firmly believes that every interaction in this life is an energy exchange, and that you are the master of your own energy because your thoughts become things. So mindset is everything, and you can create through the vibrational frequency that you hold in your body. What do you think? What you think about, you bring about. And that is a quote from Bob Proctor. Dadcast Nation, help me welcome to the show the one and only Miss Jessica Rice.
Thank you so much, Lavelle. I love that intro. And I thought, as we were getting ready for this time together, how do you summarize what your deepest passions are in such a short amount of data? And I'm just grateful to be with you. So I'm going to try to keep it on point with our schedule. And I'm passionate about this, as you can tell, and I can't wait to share more. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're glad to have you on the show. And we're going to jump right into some questions that we have. The audience just heard a little bit about your background and moving a lot, you know, a lot of places, being kind of transient during your formative years, and then traveling even into Central and South America and doing a type of, I don't know, missionary type work is the way I see it, for lack of a better term. But how has this made Jessica Rice the person that we see on camera today? What values were formed through that type of upbringing?
That's a great question. I think as I've reflected back, it becomes more of a lifestyle. It's holistic. So I remember my first trip out of the US, I was 13 years old. I was terrified. I had never been outside of the state. And within my first 24 hours, I was in a bus accident. And I thought I was going to die. And so this was an instant baptism by fire of you're coming down here to help these wonderful people, to share with them, to improve their lives, to build schools and churches. And I thought I was helping them in the middle of almost dying. And by the end of my trip, I thought, well, what they gave to me was so much larger than I could have ever brought to them, with their gratitude, the way that they were so present in their lives and their bodies and the smallest amount of things that they owned, and they couldn't be happier. And it blew my mind as a teenager coming from the US, where I feel like we have such opportunity. So many people come here to have the American dream. And yet as I was stepping outside of that dream, I found so much clarity in the act of gratitude, in that moment of realization that our headspace, really what we're grateful for, it shapes our entire reality, because we can get stuck in all these different layers of humanity and think that other things are more important. But what I've found from that moment to now is just that we are so alive in our gratitude and in our abundance if we allow ourselves to be, in a very nutshell version.
Yeah, no, that's insightful. And it kind of leads me off script for just a moment. Because we have a lot of our audience that are in other countries, 14 or more countries actually view our episodes. And even in here in the US, you know, we can be such a great country, but we're so divided in so many ways. And we focus on division more than we focus on what we have in common. Mm-hmm. And I want to just steer for a second into this discussion about sometimes, like, let me just be very frank with you, and I'm curious to see your reaction. Sure. When the audience looks at you, they see a well put together woman who looks like the silver spoon would just be given to you based just purely off of seeing you. Mm-hmm. You know, that you would just have the easy road.
Sure.
When people who look differently, or maybe from a different culture, different ethnicity, mm-hmm. may have a much tougher, could have a tougher path to take. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to them to kind of bring them in mm-hmm. to Jessica Rice and make them, allow them to feel who you are as a person? And let's forget about the appearance, and let's just talk about the heart of Jessica Rice.
Thank you for asking that. That's a large question. And I think what I instantly feel compelled to share is that I have fought in different ways to become who I am. I would say the diversity and inclusion part of my life was not having a traditional upbringing. My parents divorced at a very young age, and we were very transient, as you mentioned. And I think that taught me that who I was not what I owned or where I came from or what I possessed, how much money my parents did or didn't have, how I was shaped was really from a place of authenticity and kindness. I feel like as I started doing work in other countries, I was able to meet people with such a level of gratitude for what they were willing to welcome me into because they didn't have to. I do think that we get in the outside of what someone is so quickly and we forget their root system and where they came from. And I think to your point, a lot of people would look at me and they would say, well, she came here in an easy, quick fashion, but they don't see the divorce, the travel, the breakdown, the living in multiple homes, the fighting to be who I am without a degree. They don't see the pieces of rebuilding myself constantly as a human being. And maybe there are different layers to how we all have experienced that. But I would say at the end of the day, I love that my struggle has shaped me. I feel like that very beautiful broken glass that the gold is poured into because it's made me stronger. I love the fall down, break down, rebuild process. I do think being in both my corporate headspace and my creative headspace, I lean into the struggle because I believe it makes a better finished product on the outset. And it's never the easy journey that grabs you. And it's never the dynamic human being that came from a place of ease. The struggle and the strength are combined. And I believe that to my core. And I think we're here today in this moment talking about mindset and headspace because it's something that we all have to fight to influence within ourselves every day.
That's a great way of putting it. I think that allows, like I said, the audience to get a better glimpse of why we would even have this conversation. Because as we transition into the concept of abundance mindset or just mindfulness in general, I've done a little bit of research on it. We're even, my partner and I are writing a movie script right now where the character travels to Mumbai and then to Tibet and then to Egypt. And while he's in Tibet, he meets with a monk at a temple, and he really teaches him the art of mastering the art of mindfulness. And so I want to focus on that for a minute because I think you brought up something that's important. It doesn't matter where we come from or what our struggles have been. The way we frame it, I'm assuming, has to be critical to our path forward. So what is abundance mindset and how do you use mindfulness to frame the difficulties in your life that you've had?
Thank you so much for asking that. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about how mindset is something that we all hear a lot about every day. People talk about it. And I feel like in short, it's your secret power. It's your ability to create, and it comes down to hacking your own brain. We all are in our bodies every day, and your mind is an incredible source of power. And I do believe that our ability to shape reality, when we're manifesting our dreams and we're overcoming obstacles, we're empowering ourselves to overcome adversity. And I believe the power of your mind is your grasp every day on how you're going to show up, how you're going to represent yourself in this moment. And what I found, as cliche as it may sound, just starting to scratch the surface, but being present in your own body and looking at everything that's being presented to you and reframing it, to quote you, into a lens where your ultimate power is your acceptance, your appreciation, your empathy. And those tools, when combined, allow you to recreate a different framework and to respond differently. And there's a lot of neuroscience behind this as well, just how your mind starts reshaping and reprogramming and remapping your entire existence chemically based on how you reframe and respond. And it's been absolutely amazing to me to dig into this in layers through my own experiences. One of the areas that you triggered for me was actually how I reshaped my view on death. Through the Tibetan Buddhist monastery experience, and how, as you're reading the book of Tibetan death, and the life process is actually to die well. And that is so different than Western concept because we feel death as the end. And even if we have spirituality and religion to wrap around that philosophy together, it's still an exit that's really hard. Whereas the Tibetan Buddhist philosophy, really, they're like, live your life so well that when you die, you're dying in such an excellent way. And it's celebrated and it's powerful. And I remember stumbling upon this philosophy out of necessity when I lost my brother very tragically almost 5 years ago. And I was running towards anything that would make sense of just such a quick tragedy. And I thought, there's got to be a better way. And I discovered Tibetan Buddhism, and I realized the art of dying well is so powerful, and the gratitude exercise in all of the layers was so much bigger than anything I'd ever experienced. So there's a lot here, but I'm very passionate.
That's very interesting that you brought that up. One of the things I've kind of discovered in a lot of study over the years is that while we have different religious sects, we have, you know, Christianity and Buddhism, and we have Hinduism and so on and so forth, a lot of times there's an intersection in these religious beliefs, in these spiritual paths that really align with each other. And you know, I'm a practicing Christian, and I know some practicing Christians who are very hardcore about the Christian faith and belief. And I, you know, I appreciate that, but I'm not so narrow-minded that I don't understand and appreciate what comes from some of the other religious backgrounds. And so as you were mentioning that mindset in the Tibet Buddhist faith and in Christianity being able to speak positive things, and whatever you speak, if you believe it and don't doubt it in your heart, then that's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So that aligns with the mindfulness, I think. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, you're triggering the biblical part of my brain, because that's part of my root system too. And you know, there's a specific reference of ask and you shall receive in the Bible that most Christians, myself included, because that's my root system as well, it's sort of that understanding that putting things out into the universe, to God, to a higher place, asking, believing, and receiving are a circle. And that's really something that I think we sometimes go past really too quickly. But that's a huge part of the mindset space that I think we're allowed to create in this moment together, because there doesn't have to be the division. There doesn't have to be the religious separation, because I think it all flows into this similar combined concept that is from a higher place.
Dr. Martin Luther King once said that the most divided hour in America is at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
Because we all have our, you know, our idiosyncrasies that cause us to believe one way or the other. But I think we have a lot more similarities than we have differences when we really dig down into it. Now, this mindset mentality, it reminds me almost of the Mamba mentality that Kobe Bryant had. When I say mindset, you know, it's just kind of like, if you really put your mind to it and you focus on something, there's really no limit to what you can achieve or overcome. As a woman who I'm sure has had to face corporate microaggressions and corporate genderism, how has the right mindset allowed you, without even a degree, to climb that ladder and to just navigate what can sometimes be a minefield in a male-dominated culture?
Yes, so this one might surprise you, but having a good sense of humor is one of my secret powers. And I always feel like the creative in me kicks in when I'm in one of those adverse or diverse scenarios where someone is assuming that the book is what the cover reads. And I always like to come into every interaction and watch where people are meeting me and feel that energy and see, oh, you believe this about me because of what you know. And then what can I share with you that you don't know to kind of round out your perspective? And I found that delivery, you could say I sneak attack people with a lot of kindness, because I really believe that's the other secret power that I possess. And when I'm putting my curiosity, my kindness side by side with a headspace of just limitless belief, there's nothing that's impossible in those moments. The conversation could go from, you know, fear and adversity and rejection to power and, like, for lack of a better word, surprising the audience because they think they've assumed and they know and they believe this one thing. But if you can get them out of their body into their mind and into that energy exchange, then the sky's the limit. But you have to do it with a certain degree of, I'm going to find humor in what you've already decided about me. I'm going to find curiosity in how can I open your eyes? And then I'm going to share energy with you until we both go to a higher place.
That's a very good way to put it. The reality, I think, is that we all walk into every person we meet ever on this planet. We walk into it with some type of bias that has been shaped by our experiences, by what parents told us, by societal, you know, issues. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able, I think, to come into that meeting with that person with an open enough mind to say, maybe it's not just what it appears to be, and give an opportunity.
Yeah, how funny is that to be wrong or to be surprised? It's right. Powerful.
I'll tell you quickly, just a little, very quick story. When I went into the military, I didn't have very many friends that were not the same color of me.
Wow.
I could probably count them on half of a hand. And when I went into the military, one of the best friends that I had immediately was a guy who was from LA. We were born on the same day in the same year in the same hospital.
Wow.
And we called him Lightbulb because he had big ears and he looked like we were turning the light bulb on. And we had the best friendship.
Wow.
Out of nowhere. When I was taught by parents who were born in the 20s and migrated from Louisiana, you know, coming out of that oppressive background, that everybody who looked like you were not to be trusted by me. But my military experience shifted that. And so I think that, again, I'm appreciating mindfulness and the mindset. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think a person who everything seems to be against them, they have low socioeconomic background. They have a low socioeconomic background. They have cultural or ethnic issues. They have educational setbacks or the lack of education. Do you think that they can literally move into an abundance mindset and shift from being in poverty to abundance? And I'm not just talking about dollars and cents, but just going from poverty to abundance. Is that possible?
1,000%. And what you're tying it together before I even say it, true wealth is your existence. And so what you're focused on is an energy. And if you're in a state of lack, by simply elevating your energy, your vibration, you can start attracting better for yourself because everything in this world is a vibration. That's one of the pieces of being a musician that really kind of is a flow state for me around this philosophy, because our cells move to rhythms. So everything that's in our life right now, we attract it on some cellular level. And there's an incredibly powerful, mind-blowing scientific element of the frequency process of you listening to something and rewiring your body for that level of frequency. And I've test driven it from a health standpoint for myself personally. So I used to suffer from chronic migraines. I don't wear glasses, but I had two really kind of unique neck injuries that happened within 3 months of each other. And I thought the universe is trying to get my attention. And I got hit in a car and then I got dropped on my neck during a trust fall. And that's so ironic, but my whiplash from that literally was that I would get these horrible migraines from hypertension in my neck. And I thought, you know, am I going to have to do surgery, Botox, medication, what have you? I tend to be more natural. I want my body to heal itself. So I started listening to frequencies to heal my body from migraines. And it worked better than anything any doctor could give me, any shot, anything over the counter. And I rewired my body to heal itself based on a frequency that I was listening to. And that was like catastrophic pain where I literally couldn't see and my vision was blurry to now being able to be, fully functioning and happy.
So let me ask you this then. This maybe touches on, some ground that a lot of people wouldn't want. And I don't consider it to be controversial, but just a lot of people steer away from it. I'm assuming you're familiar. I think you mentioned maybe having a Christian background. I know you mentioned being in a religious household. Can a Christian, without losing their Christianity, also learn to vibrate at high frequencies? Or is
Yes.
this some kind of taboo, kind of cult-like vibrational thing, because there are some people out there that really don't understand
Sure.
frequencies. And I mean, I try to put it in the case of, like, I was trying to sing a song at rehearsal last night that was in B flat, and it was extremely high for a first tenor, so we stepped it down, a half step to make it more comfortable. But sometimes reaching that high note and being right on pitch makes your voice sound crystal clear. Just like a frequency, I believe, if you get in the right frequency, makes the picture of your mind much clearer.
Oh,
Do you agree
absolutely.
with that, or?
I do, and I'm going to go back to many, many years of being in church and singing. Music and the act of worship is a frequency, right? And I think I remember feeling in the religious part of my life when people would talk about the Holy Spirit, that seemed like a foreign concept to me, even though it was very biblical, Father, Son, Spirit. I find that the element of frequency is much more tied to the Holy Spirit than the rest of our religious concept. And so if from a religious standpoint, if you can wrap your mind around the Holy Spirit, then I think you can wrap your mind around abundance mindset and higher frequencies because it's what you can't see, but yet you can feel. And we know that music is the universal language because you can be in a concert or driving your car, or you can suddenly feel the musical vibration move you wherever you are, however you're receiving it, and no one questions it. We're just experiencing the music. And then you think about, the love of music when you read about the angels singing, and that honestly, the aura and the concept of heaven has a lot of frequency and music and energetic vibration to it as well. So I think it's more about connecting everything that we've been taught and then this layer in between, which again to me feels very spirit-led. So if you are in your Bible and in your church and in your Sunday morning talking about the Holy Spirit, I feel like you're halfway into your frequency indoctrination because it's very connected.
That's a good way to put it. That's very interesting. I do agree for sure that music is a universal language. It's funny how, I've never been a Taylor Swift fan, right? I'm going somewhere with this. I didn't even want to like her music because Justin Bieber was the same way. I didn't want to like his music because it's Justin Bieber and it's because it's Taylor Swift. But they would play it on the radio so much. I'd listen to country music all the time when she was starting out. And they would play it so much that you ended up singing along with the song. And I can remember how many songs over my life I've listened to, and the music it caught my attention so much, even more so than the lyrics. And somebody would add, if they asked me to quote the lyrics to the song, I'd have no idea, but I knew the music. And I think that there's a frequency in that sound that triggers something within us that resonates with us and then causes us to gravitate toward a particular song. I think frequencies are involved there.
I love that you're calling that out because not a lot of people would admit that to you, but I can tell you the music professional in me who spent time in the studio, I've recently started asking my producers to work with me to start building frequencies in to help people get to a space of higher level of optimism, higher level of joy. There is absolutely frequency being built into every single piece of production. That's what gets us listening, feeling, moving, higher or lower, depending upon what kind of audience they're trying to reach. But we are constantly being programmed, if you will, by the sound that we're ingesting. And if we can learn how to really build that and use that as a tool, it's going to be life-changing. And it already has been for me.
There's a guy named Billy Carson who says that we are in an actual matrix right now. He believes that we're living in the third dimension and we are in a matrix right now, and this is programmed. You know, of course, there's so many different things to look at when you consider that. But I thought it was interesting that I heard him say that in an interview. I'm sorry. Were you going to say something? I didn't want to cut you off.
Well, I was just going to agree, and I didn't mean to cut you off either. But I do think the hunger for more is what we are seeing come out of our current dimension. As people are waking up and they're reaching for more than their current state, I do agree with him in that there's sort of this break point where we all are feeling the need for a shift. And I do think this is a piece of it.
Yeah, and I get questioned quite a bit in my conversations with people about me wanting, I'm constantly wanting to learn and understand and see where maybe there have been flaws in the doctrines I've been taught, for instance. You know, where's the truth in it? How can I validate it? And I feel like it almost, some people feel like you don't question your faith. I'm mm-hmm. of the opinion that by questioning it, you make it stronger.
Absolutely, as you say.
But let me shift for just a moment. We got a few more questions and I want to make sure we get to them. Mental health is a big issue, and I've spent a lot of this sixth season of the podcast talking about mental health challenges with men. Have you had any kind of challenges where some days your mental health isn't optimal? And if so, how have you approached that?
This is leading into something really important that I wanted to share with you, so I appreciate you asking. I will say too, I think all of our mental health has been challenged by what has gone on in the world, especially in the last several years. I think the pandemic hit all of us in the face, for lack of a better word, and what mm-hmm. we choose to do with that on the backside is something that I've been really intentional about. We've all had struggles. It's, you know, hit our health, our relationships, our finances, our headspace, our careers, our ability to socially interact. Like, there's so many issues that were just dumped on the table because of the pandemic. And I think we've all responded to it very differently. But I wanted to share the 7-step process that I go through to really maintain a balanced headspace and mindset. Because as you've probably noticed, your good day and your bad day show up in your life instantly. It can be how your family's treating you, how your finances look, how your stomach feels that day, how your traffic looks when you're commuting. Like, you walk out of your door with a bad day and your bad day comes back to you. It's magnetic. So what I've found is that if I can really tune myself at the beginning of the day, then I can shape everything that happens to me in such a higher level of thought process acceptance. And also, it usually comes back to me at a higher vibration. So if you're open to that, I'd love to share
those. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So thank you. The first one that I truly swear by that you mentioned in my bio is that thoughts do become things. So whatever you're focusing on is being drawn to you, whether it's positive or negative. So I would ask you, like, today, what have you attracted to yourself since you opened your eyes this morning? Does anything come to you?
I think that, honestly, probably the only thing I've attracted to myself today is I've been focusing a little more on having unconditional love when I meet people, because it's very difficult, because sometimes I know that sounds, you know, I don't know, philosophical or something to some people that may be listening, but I literally make affirmations every day. So one of the affirmations is that I'm walking more and more in unconditional love, because I meet people and they can irritate me. Sometimes I have a short fuse, whatever the case might be. And I'm trying to focus more on giving more rope to people.
I love that. A similar concept, so I'll close the thoughts become things point with one area that helps me visually. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like a camera. What you focus on is what you are attracting. And you're proving that point. The more love you put out, the more love you draw in. And the more people that will meet you with that same unconditional love, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. The second point is that you need to raise your vibration. We've talked a lot about that. So frequencies, there's a lot of apps out there that help you kind of tune your mind. I've recently used InnerTune. That's a new app that a lot of people are using to kind of create a customized playlist of frequency and affirmations to really help you just kind of preset, almost like pregame your day. It's really powerful. And I would just say in that exercise, you can go down an app route, but also if you're on YouTube, you can literally search frequencies to help you with mindset if you're not feeling well. I did that with my migraines. Like, you can heal your body with sound, and you can just kind of say, you know, on Mondays I'm focused on wealth, Tuesday I'm focused on like healing, on Wednesdays I'm focused on dreaming and manifesting, and you know, so be it. But you kind of almost create a rhythm for yourself that's frequency aligned. The third step is that you need to clear your mind of everything, which is really hard because we're constantly inundated with data all day long. But what you want to do is realize that the only thing that exists is this moment. The future and the past are illusions, because the only thing that is in existence is this moment right now. And I feel like we're really good as humans to future trip. We're always worrying about what's coming. And we look back at the past with some level of criticism or fear or attachment. But really all we have is this moment. So if you can just wipe the slate clean and be in this moment right now, the level of opening up your own internal power to create from that space is incredibly dynamic. And we all know that you can't drive your car looking out the back window or looking in the rearview mirror. So just being right here, that's point number three, just to be in this moment. Mm-hmm. Point number four is affirmations. I love that you do affirmations. I was going to ask you what that process looks like for you, and then I'd love to share more about how I approach it.
Just every day, I literally every single day I have a list of affirmations that I speak out verbally, about my business, about my family, about my wealth, my physical health. You know, and I just say things like, I'm wealthy, I'm disciplined, you know, that I'm favored, and that favorable relationships are attracted to me. So those kinds of things.
I love that. I do something similar. I usually will just kind of lean into my weak points, if you will. So if I have an affinity towards fear this week because I'm worried about something that hasn't manifested yet, then I go right into I'm abundant, I am accepted, I am complete, I am drawing what wants me, I also want. What I want also wants me. And it becomes this feedback loop of just understanding that if I can align with everything that really I'm attracting, then it becomes a flow state between us and there's no barriers. So I love that you do that. Step five is ask, believe, release, and receive. Let go of how or when something will happen. Simply set your intention, release the outcome, and believe that it's already yours. It's already on its way. So you don't get to obsess about how, you just get to be really clear about what you're attracting. And it removes that level of anxiety because you're not worried about when it's coming. You're just accepting that it is coming. And it's like planting a seed, walking away and letting the universe water it until it is ready to grow. And that's such a simple black and white concept, because think about if every farmer planted all the seeds and then they sat there and they worried about when those crops were gonna come to fruition, they would lose their money, right? But instead, it's part of their actual business model to plant the seeds and let them come when they're ready. And I feel like if we can do that with clear intentionality, it's the same process. And then I have two more. And I hope we're doing okay on our schedule.
Oh yeah, we're fine, yeah.
number six, thank you. Number six is visualization. So picture exactly what you want to attract, how it will taste, how it will feel, how relieved you'll feel when it arrives, where you'll be sitting, what you'll be wearing. An example that I've done recently is if I want to close a deal in the corporate world, I write down the dollar amount. I feel a wave of gratitude wash over me. I picture the weight being lifted off my shoulders. I literally envision my boss's voice and his joy and his relief, because that's feeding his pipeline of business. I feel the peace of going to bed that night with the abundance of that moment wrapping around me. And this could be something that someone could use if they're more visual. They could create a vision board where they're seeing themselves on that vacation when that deal closes, or in that future conversation with that business partner. And it's really just like creating the energy of how it feels. And that's super powerful, because you get so into that moment, that exchange, you're already going to that frequency naturally. So it comes to you faster.
Right.
And then the last step is gratitude, which I know you already know with your affirmations, but being thankful for everything that you have right now, writing down everything that you have, being thankful. To me, this, and I think a lot of other people would feel that way too, it creates your flow state, because you're focused on what you have. So you're coming from a place that is not lack. You're coming from a place that is full, because you're just in that gratitude. You're rewiring your brain to operate at the highest vibration. You're elevating your approach to everything. And then you're getting curious, You're watching your neurology reshape your path because your headspace is now infinite possibilities. And so it's creating that destiny through that positive energy. And it's just that simple. 7 steps.
Well, those are great. I'm going to, the audience will see those 7 steps on the screen. And so they are, you know, I'm sure if you guys, Dadcast Nation, want to write those down or, you know, replay this video, this episode, or you can get that information. But those are some very good points for people to follow. And I appreciate you sharing that with us. Let me get to 2 more things before we close out. One, we talked very little about you being a singer-songwriter. And I do want, I know we have some curious minds watching this who are going to Google or YouTube Jessica Rice and her music, but just tell us where, first of all, what kind of music do you do and where can people find your music?
Yes. So if you Google Jessica Rice, you will not find me. I am J-A-E, J Rice. That's the J from Jessica, the A-E from me. So Jessica May turned into J Rice. So if you look at J Rice, you'll find a pop sounding vocalist with kind of an eclectic flavor. So I'm a classically trained pianist. When I started manifesting, quite honestly, my J Rice pop career, I thought to myself, if I can go to LA and I can find a producer who's willing to just let me create with no genre commitment, I'm just going to go find this person and we'll just make music together and it'll be a crossover project. So I intentionally went into it. I found a producer who had been more of like a hip hop and rap producer, and he saw me coming at him and he's like, what are we going to do together? And I just said, if you can believe it and I can dream it, we will get there. And so to this day, when you listen to J Rice, you'll hear EDM, you'll hear a little bit of pop. I've done a country sound. It usually has kind of that similar pop vocal, but the genre of creating the track and the harmonies is really, really organic. And I love that because I never wanted to be just one lane for someone. Mm-hmm. I wanted to find a little bit of something that they enjoyed. And I found too, as I've been doing this mindset headspace work, my creative work has evolved too. And if anyone wants to go check out this end of Butterfly, that's probably the most evolved headspace song or track that I've done so far. Okay. And I'm really grateful for how you can feel the energy in that track differently. And there's power in creating from a place of gratitude and abundance that will show up in your work.
Okay. Okay. Tell us one more time the name.
It's J Rice, J-A-E Rice. And mm-hmm. the track that speaks to our work today is Butterfly. So if you want to listen.
Butterfly. Okay.
There's some club tracks out there. There's something in there for everybody. But if you listen to them side by side, I think you'll feel the energy frequency. It's a little different.
All right. Very good. And how can our audience follow you on socials or contact you?
Yeah, thank you. So as you know, you'll find Corporate Jess on LinkedIn under Jessica Rice. That's how we connected. You'll mm-hmm. find Creative Jess on, or Creative by Jay is my work on Instagram. So J-A-E-R-I-C-E-3. I will keep you posted as we have new music videos coming out. There are some on YouTube. I'm expanding TikTok, and I do plan to release a new single that my nephew actually produced here within the next couple months. And there's a lot of frequency elements in that as well.
Okay, very good. That's exciting. Folks, you got to check her out, JRice3 on Instagram, and that should be on your screen for you to see. Check out on YouTube, and those that have a corporate interest, go over to LinkedIn and check out Jessica Rice. At any rate, though, I think this has been a very good interview. I appreciate you sharing with us. I wish we had more time, and who knows, we may end up coming back for another episode with you, because I really enjoyed talking with you, and I think our audience is going to get quite a bit out of it. I'll give you parting words if you'd like. We've got maybe about 45 seconds if you'd like to say anything to the audience.
I dare you all to get curiously creative about how quickly you can manifest what is the truest desire of your heart. And I would start small. Start with $20. Could $20 make your day better? Start with what you're grateful for and start visualizing something as small as $20 that you're going to find in your pocket. And watch what the universe will do with your energy. As you start to elevate your energy to a higher place, you're going to create phenomenal things. And I would start small. Get curious. test it a little bit. Try the 7 steps and see how your relationships change, how your job changes, how your creativity changes. If you try it for a week and it's not working for you, I'd love for you to reach out. I'm actually coaching several people through this process, and I've been watching their deals improve, their relationships improve, their finances improve. There's some real power to your headspace and your gratitude, and I would love to help you continue building that.
All right, folks, well, you heard it. Reach out, try the steps out, take some small steps leading toward larger steps, and then reach out to Jessica on socials or somehow and get in touch with her. I'm sure she'll be pleased to hear from you. Thank you again, Jessica, for being a part of this. I look forward to communicating with you more and following your career, especially your music career. We'd love to hear more of what you're doing. Dadcast audience, thank you for tuning in to this episode. You've got all the information about our guest on the screen, and we look forward. We have an exciting finale show that we're putting together. Jessica will be a part of that episode. We're going to bring back all of the guests for season 6, and we're just going to have a roundtable discussion about several topics. So stay tuned for that. And we'll see you again soon. As I always say, peace and blessings. I'm out.
Just feel it. Yeah, you talk to him. Shout out to the Dadcast Nation. Yo, see, this is the perspective of a dad. Cast it to whomever's interested. Come take this ride with your boy, and I promise to keep it interesting. I'm invested in learning life's lessons so we can grow together. I know the weather be switching up on you, but listen up. It's just life's journey. This would turn me into a teacher, a father, a husband, a preacher. And I'm trying to reach the top, a writer, an author, an actor, and a director. So when you see the world through my eyes, it's like a reflection of all of that. And I'm all of that, but it's much more to do. See, life is just your movie, and your role is yours to choose. We only get one life to live, and I live my life with prayer. This the Dadcast Podcast, so hit that like and share. Hit that like and share. Hit that like and share. Hit that like and share.